instead of just doing topical sermons, read your Bible, you know, there's power in the word, we actually took you through specific steps, right, in order to learn how to read your Bible, which I thought was very powerful. So we're going to continue that concept. So this morning it's very simple, but we're going to get into prayer. We're going to get into the importance of prayer, but we're going to try to break out just very simple principles for you to help you to begin to learn how to pray. So I think God is going to continue to mature us and help us and give us foundation. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, just for our friends. Thank you for our special guests this morning. Thank you for all those that are here in attendance, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here and with us. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have a divine appointment with us today, that you would lead us and guide us in all directions, Lord, that you would not only teach us how to read your word, but God, this morning now, blend it together and help us to learn how to pray, to talk to you, talk to our Father. And I just pray that you'd help us, you'd build us up, Lord, and help us be the living stones of the church. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you can give God some praise. We're going to talk about prayer. I think prayer is something we talk about probably a lot more than we pray. It's probably going to get real quiet in here, just like our prayer life. I was reading about satellites, and this was interesting. I had to write it down. I wasn't sure if I'd completely remember it. But the largest radio receiver is in New Mexico. And pilots can see this radio receiver. They call it a field of mushrooms. So there's 27 satellite disks that, and they have 38 miles of what's called railway, right, connecting them. It ends up being that it's like a telescope into space, right? You don't know what I'm talking about. It's a receiver or a telescope, basically, that's looking out into space, and it's trying to find information. It's trying to hear energy, right? It's trying to find something out there and then receive that information so that we can communicate with the heavens, right? We can communicate with the heavens. It's interesting. It's so large that it's actually the size of this telescope is actually this, if you have it all there, is the size of Washington, D.C. That's how big that this place is that is searching to communicate with the heavens. You're not impressed. That's something Leo Price would say. He'd say, you're not impressed. It's amazing. I mean, this is huge, but it's interesting, right? Because what we are willing to do as humans outside of the word, right? But what we are willing to do to try to find information. I just think it's interesting, right? That humankind has spent that kind of time, that kind of research, right? That kind of money, that kind of manpower, just the ridiculousness of creating this in order to try and hear something, you know, from space. And yet in the word of God, we know as Christians that it's ridiculous because we don't need a telescope the size of Washington, D.C. to hear from God, to hear from the heavens, right? We have a great promise in 2 Peter 1:19. It says, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. We would be good to pay attention to a lamp shining in a dark place. We have this telescope, you know, that's the size of Washington, D.C., that's looking out for a light shining in a very dark space, and it's trying to find information, and we're spending money and manpower. You know, think of how many people probably with that money, but instead they're just trying to find something. And in the Word of God, it says we would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, because we have the prophetic Word of God. Amen? We don't, as Christians, we don't have to build that. We don't have to go through that. But what we can do in prayer, church, is just call out to God. We don't need a telescope. We don't need $17 billion. We don't need 38 miles of pipeline, right? And we don't have to just send out a signal and wait 20 years to get a signal back. And it makes no sense anyway. And they'll do it again. And again and again and again. And yet, you and I can simply just pay attention, look out for the light shining in a dark place, and say, God, I just need to talk to you for a moment. And out of the universe, bypassing the telescope, the God of the universe, right, comes down. What is it? The Bible says that he bends his ear to his people. You know, I mean, here we are, these scientists, and they have their telescope, and they're reaching out, and yet, in this church right now, God is bending his ear all the way down into our congregation to hear his people talk to him. It says we have something more sure. I hope somebody's impressed. Here's the thing. It's going to be real simple this morning. Prayer is expected of us. It's expected. Jesus expects us to pray. We're going to look at Matthew 6, 5. We have just a 5 or 6 of these. But it says, and when you pray. Everybody say, and when you pray. And when you pray. It doesn't say if you pray. This is Jesus. These are words of Jesus, right? We're not even going to go through the whole scripture. It says, and when you pray. Jesus expects that if we're a Christian, he expects that we're going to pray. Jesus never said if you pray. He said when you pray. If we go to the next verse, you see that it's the common theme from Jesus. It says, but when you pray. Everybody say, but when you pray. And notice, now this is the expectation. He says, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, right? Shut the door, go in and pray. Jesus expects that you and I want to talk to him. I mean, I say it all the time, but what kind of relationship can you really build with someone without communication? Right? I mean, if I just quit talking to my wife today, I just stopped. Don't text, call, come home, right? And we just don't talk. And in 6 months, we're going to do a follow-up meeting and see how well our marriage is going. we will make it 6 months, right? It would be terrible. But we do that with God. See, we say that we have this relationship. It's not enough to live in the same house as my wife. It's not enough to know things about my wife. Come on, somebody. See, we can be in the house with God. We can sit in his house. We can read about him. We can look at the pictures on the wall, and we can know that we're a so-called family. But if there's not communication, there's not a whole lot that's taking place. We're not knowing about his day, and he's not learning about our day. And, you know, and maybe I come home and I'm stressed and I need some comfort in my life, but I'm not going to tell my wife, and then I'm bitter at my wife because she's not comforting me. But we do that with God. We come home and we're bitter and we're having issues, and there's comfort that we need, but we don't sit down and say, I'm going to talk to God about this. And then we wonder why there's a breakdown in relationship. Jesus said, when? We can go to 6-7, and it says the same thing. He just continues this concept, when you pray. And when you pray. And notice what it says. Do not heap up empty phrases. That's not prayer. Not to pick on other religions, but other belief systems, but saying the same thing over and over and over again is not communication. If I only told my wife the same sentence every time I saw her 100 times, Well, she'll probably slap me, right? She'll think I'm a broken record. But can you tell me something else, right? But this is what we do with God. So God is not looking for empty phrases. God is looking for communication. He's looking for us to talk to him, right? And so go to the next one, and you're going to see again, and we just keep going, 6, 7, 6, 9. It says the same concept. But look what he says. It says, pray then like this. This is a command. It's not, he's teaching them how to pray, but at the same time, it's a command when he says, pray. Pray. Go to Luke 11:9. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Folks, I just don't understand why we wouldn't pray. I mean, I don't come home. You know, my wife says, babe, if you come home and have a conversation with me, there is a reward. I say, baby, what do you like to talk about? Let me. Come on, somebody. Let me sharpen my communication skills so I'm ready to testify, right? But that's God. God says, look, he says, if you seek, you, look what he says, you will find. If you knock, it will be open up to you. That says, look, if you will talk to me and come to me and communicate with me and tell me what's going on, I will do something about it. I will be there. But I got to hear you say it. I got to hear you say it. I mean, think about it. You know, when you're fighting with your spouse. I mean, I don't know about you. You know, wives, ever been mad at your husbands? You don't have to raise your hand. But I know this happens, right? You're the wife. This is mostly a wife thing, I think. The wife is mad. The husband comes home. He can tell you're mad because he can feel the poltergeist in the room. Right? I mean, he walks in. It's like cold. His breath's like cold air. He can feel it. Your neck is like spinning around. And he says, what's wrong? If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. And the guy's like, oh my, I don't know what happened. But you know, I'm not talking to you. But why? What did I do? Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. How is that going to help the situation, right? But that's kind of like with God, you know. Maybe we're not mad, but it's like, God's like, what's wrong? I've given you prayer. I've given you a way to communicate. I can tell that something's on your mind. I can tell that something's on your heart. I can tell that you're grieved. I mean, when I came into your presence, Randy, it was a little cold in this room. Like, what is happening in your heart? Well, if you don't know, I thought you were God. If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. Oh, come on now. We got attitudes with God. Well, he's God. He should know. Why isn't God taking care of me? Have you talked to him about it? Well, he's God. Of course he's God, but he likes relationship. Think about this. He lives in a Trinity. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who does that but someone who wants to create relationship? Someone who likes communication. Someone that likes to work together in and through all things. I mean, it's a triune being. God is not a lonely God. He's not a God that wants to be off and separate and alone. He's a God of communication. He's a Trinity. He says, look, I want to work in and through some things, but you got to talk to me. And that's why Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray. He commands us, pray. In Luke 11:9, he says, look, and if you do, I can help you. Let's go to Luke 18:1. Listen to this. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always to pray and not lose. lose heart. These are the hard ones, right? You ought to always pray. That literally means, basically, you never stop praying. I'm not going to lie to you. I think in the last 5 minutes, I haven't been praying. I mean, these are the weird, these are the scriptures, right? Because I'm going to kind of help you with this concept. Because we read scriptures like you ought to always pray. It's literally telling you never to stop praying. It means do not stop. How is that possible? There's other things that we have to do, right? There's other things that we got to do. How is that possible? I look at it like this. It's like calling God the first time you pray, right? And you say hello, but you never hang up the phone. You only have interruptions. So you're talking to God, and life happens. You got to do something, right? And say, God, okay, you know, and it's like he's on the phone. He's at, now, you know, have you ever done this with a real person? Someone calls you, you're dealing with stuff. You say, give me a minute, right? Then you're dealing with something, but you know that someone's on the phone. They're at the forefront of your mind. You might even tell the person, oh, I got to get back to my phone. This is like the concept in the Bible that I could think of when it says pray without ceasing, which we'll read, or it says you ought to always pray, is that God should always be at the forefront of your mind, on the phone, on speaker, waiting for you to come back to him, right? So our prayers, I'm trying to look at it as my prayer shouldn't be hello every time, because that's like, hey, I left you, and now I'm coming back again. I hung up the phone, but I'm calling you again. When it should be a continuation of, okay, sorry about that, Lord, but I had to take care of that situation, but I'm glad that you're still on the line, because I didn't hang up. I don't have to say hi, and I don't have to say goodbye. I called you the first time, and you're on the phone, and I'm going to leave you there on speaker at the forefront of my mind. We don't have to hang up on God. I'm trying to help us with this concept, because we think that prayer is, I don't know, some separate thing we do in a day. I got to find time to pray. You should just be in prayer. So well, then when I go off and pray, what am I doing? You're just saying, hey, what's up? Like, you've been on the phone this whole time, but I had to get some things done, you know, but I was thinking about you, God. You're at the forefront of my mind that entire time. Come on, somebody. Think about this. If Jesus himself, okay, he just appeared right here. For real, though, right? Like he's there. And he says to you personally, I'm going to need you to start praying and not stop. You probably would pray. Now, I could tell you to go home and pray. I don't know. You go and eat. Then you feel tired. You might think about it. Pastor told me to go home and pray. But you get home and you go to sleep, right? You take a Sunday afternoon nap. And then you wake up and you forgot I told you to pray. But Jesus, right? Boom! Is right here. Jesus. You know, you can see it through his hands and feet. And he grabs you by your face with those scarred hands. And he says, I need you to talk to me right now. You're going to start talking. You will start talking, right? And he says, and don't stop. And he's gone. I think you'd just be forever trying to talk to him again, right? Can that happen again, please? And what's interesting is we all agree, well, of course. And yet, Jesus in his word tells us to pray, that we ought to pray, and that if we do, he will hear us. And he will do something about it. This is why we went through the reading of the Bible first. Because we think, but if Jesus appeared and told me, I would do it. And the reality is Jesus appeared in his word and told you, and you're not doing it. sandals never wore out. They had Nikes from heaven. Right? I mean, that's a Nike right there. Like, 40 years later, they're like, check out my kicks, bro. Like, they look brand new. Their clothes never wore out. They're hungry. Piece of bread, man, and right out of heaven. Boom! Like, oh. Like, walk around my new shoes. For 40 years. Then we know, just like us, they had a sign. It didn't matter. If manna, when it fell, I mean, think about it. You're hungry, and a donut falls from the sky. Boom! I like jelly donuts, right? Kind of wishing, seek and you will find. Jelly donut. Jelly. But I mean, imagine, you know, a jelly donut falls from the sky. Boom! And you're starving. And they call it manna. They named it. Manna means, what is this? It's interesting, and we think, well, but if we had a sign, but the reality is, church, that so many times God gives us all the signs we need, but when we get it, our attitude, like children of Israel, is, oh, what is this? I mean, we think, well, Jesus appeared here, and he told me to pray, I would do it, but Jesus appeared in his word 2,000 years ago, it was written to pray, and we say, what is it? We don't pray. You guys still with me? Colossians 4:2, it tells us to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly. That means with perseverance, continue to pray. Why would he say steadfastly? Because it's not easy to pray. How do I know? Because not many of us probably pray as much as we should pray. It's not easy. You get distractions, right? I mean, the kids are freaking out, right? There's this. Why? Probably because we're talking about prayer. Whenever there's prayer involved, I promise you that you're going to have distractions. Go home today, set a timer for an hour, and say, wife, family, we're going to sit here, and we're going to pray for 60 minutes. That's going to be the weirdest 60 minutes of probably your family's life. Right, relatives that haven't called you in 25 years, you know, they're going to call you in that hour. Your wacky neighbor, right, that you don't even like, they're going to show up at your doorstep. Your lights are going to get shut off. I mean, you know, just crazy stuff. You're going to find that you can't think and you're distracted and your mind is going off on rabbit trails, right? And you're praying and next thing you know, you're on Facebook and you look and your kids are on Facebook. And you're like, we're supposed to be praying right now. It's not easy to pray. Why? Because the enemy understands what happens when we pray. So he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. He says, and be watchful with thanksgiving. If we go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. I'm going to tell you what, man, I grew up in church. And I would read that and I would just think, that's impossible. That's just not possible to pray and never stop. And then God began to help me with this idea of never hanging up the phone. I can keep him at the forefront of my mind. I can think about God no matter what I'm doing. Amen. God bless this child. In the name of Jesus. You can think about it. In fact, one of the writers in this book, he was saying that he was doing something. You know, he was out and he's having to work. He was doing something and he looked up at the sky. And just when he looked into the sky, he began to thank God for how beautiful his creation was. And then he was doing something else. And, people were building something. And he was thanking God for people and God's people. And he said, and I began to realize that I could function in life and have God at the forefront of my mind. Continuously, not ceasing, but thinking about or praying to my God. In Romans 8:15, this one says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. And this is where we're going to focus. It says, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. When you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came into your life and began to compel you to cry, Abba, Father. He began to do something in you, this inner work or an impulse that you would want to cry, Abba, Father. God wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to pray. Listen, in Galatians 4:6, it says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. This notation of crying is talking about there is an impulse, there is this compulsion as a Christian to want, your spirit wants to cry out, Abba, Father. It wants to communicate. There should be something in the Christian church that should compel you to want to pray. Because you want to cry out to him, Abba, Father, my God, I'm not separated from you anymore. There's no curtain, there's no veil, there's no tradition, there's no priest in the middle of me, there's not a person, there's not a wall, there is nothing that can separate me now. I am just completely connected to my dad, right? I mean, I know that I can go into my father's room and talk to him, right? My dad, David Emerson. Like I know I can go to my dad's room. This is why he uses this with us, church. He's saying, look, I'm your dad. You can come to me. You can walk right into my room and talk to me. You can look me face to face into loving eyes that loves his child and say, Abba, Father, I need you. Talk to me. I got to tell you about what I'm going through. And the blessing, church, is it's the Holy Spirit in you compelling you to cry out. Because, see, I'm talking about prayer. And I'm bringing this up because, I don't know, when I even study this stuff, I get challenged. And I think I'm not a good enough prayer. And I don't know how to pray that without, you know, how do I really pray? And I want to be better at it. And, you know, I get convicted. And I think I don't pray enough. And what's wrong with me? And I'm sure there's someone in here thinking, I don't know how to do all that. There's something wrong with me, right? And pastor, I don't know. I mean, you know. Here's the beautiful part, church, is you've received the Holy Spirit. And there is a Holy Spirit in you that wants to talk to God. And I hope this morning something will compel you to begin to tap into that. And say, maybe I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to say it all the way people say it. But I know that I can come to you, Dad, and just say, Papa. That's because that's what it's saying. If there's something in you that just says, Papa. Like, anybody can say Daddy, right? Anybody can go in there and say, Dad. I had this guy sit in my office one time, and he sat there for like, it was over an hour, just pouring his heart out to me, the rawest stuff. I mean, raw. Just got it all out. And he's like, I wish I could pray. You know, can you tell me how to pray, Pastor? How can I pray like you? You know? I said, you know what you should do? He said, what? I said, you should go outside right now by yourself. And everything you just said exactly the same exact way that you just said it to me, go out and say it to him. It's funny because I can't say that to God. Because he was grieved and he was saying some stuff. He was being pretty blunt, pretty raw about his feelings. I can't talk like that to God. I told him, you don't think he just heard all of it? He's like, oh, then he's like, oh, shoot, man. Like, I wasn't thinking. I told him, you know what? He knew all of that before you said it to me. He said, but I think he would really like it if you went out there and trusted him enough to say it to him. And he said, well, he's going to get mad at me. I said, why would he be mad at you? He just wants his son to talk to him. See, if I have a son going through problems, I'm not going to, and he doesn't talk to me, I'm not going to care what he says. I'm just going to want him to come and talk to me. I'm just going to want him to come and trust me and love me enough to open up to me and say, I've got some problems, I've got some issues. I don't know how to say it right. I'm going to say some things wrong, but I just have to say it to somebody. Sometimes you just got to be real with God. Because we are real fake with him a lot. We don't talk like our prayers. Come on, somebody. I mean, really? You go up to people at the gym. Oh, Tony. How far art thou this fine Sunday morning with thy petals rippling in the night? I see you pushing through, your chest presseth. Like, we don't talk like that. But when we pray, right? God, my Father, you know, we get all weird. Like, I get like an accent, you know? It happens. Like, Father God, I just want to talk to you about something tonight. I was grieved in my spirit at the church, the child was screaming. I didn't know quite what to do, so I began to rebuke him in the name of the Lord. You know, but we get weird. Right? We do. We get weird. Like, I'm praying now. You know? It's like, all right, bro, yeah, it sounds cool, man. You know, I got to pray now. Oh, Lord. I am here. Right? It's so weird. I think God's up there sometimes going, why can't you just talk to me like you talk to everybody else? It's like, man, I'm really sick of it. I don't even know what accent that is, and I created every language. What mix is that? What is that? Swedish? I don't even know what you're doing. That's not even an accent. Stop. I'm trying to sound holy. Well, you sound like a phony. All right, so let's just stop it. Sometimes praying is just talking. Talk to God, because there's someone here that you say, I don't know how to pray. Yeah, you do. Do you know how to talk to your neighbor? Do you know how to talk to your friends? I can't talk to God like that. Yes, you can. Because it says that the Holy Spirit cries, Abba, Father. It's about relationship. And you know what, folks? Jesus prayed. In Luke 5:16, it says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And when he prayed, he called God Father. Let me tell you, if prayer is good enough for Jesus, I mean, come on, somebody. It's got to be good enough for me. And if Jesus needed to pray, I mean, what the heck is up with our pride when we think I've got this and Jesus said, not my will, but your will. I mean, this is a man that's going to go, this is the Son of Man. He's going to go to the cross and endure some junk, you know? And he's going to come off that cross and raise himself from the dead. The Bible says, no one takes my life, right? Jesus said, but I lay it down and I choose to pick it up again. I mean, that's a champion. That is someone that is way beyond my comprehension that says, hey, you could take my life, but it's because I give it to you. And then when you take it, I'm just going to bring it right back from the grave. Like, just because I'm just like that. I'm just that good, right? I'm just that powerful. Wow. You know? Oh, you're hungry and you have a little bit of bread. Now everybody has bread. Oh, there's water. Let me walk on it, right? Oh, you can't see. Now you can see. I mean, this is Jesus. It's ridiculous. Oh, you can't walk? Pick up your mat and walk. And they walk out. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Oh, you're dead? Now you're alive. I raised you from the dead. I mean, this is a champion. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
ridiculous. I mean, it's crazy.
And yet he said, oh, I better go pray. I better take a few minutes. I need to pray. And here we are, right? Let me tell you something. I've never walked on water. I don't think you have either. We've never raised anybody from the dead. Some of you might have killed some people. Like Paul, you've been forgiven. And thank you, Jesus. But some of you might have a testimony we don't really want to know about. But it's interesting, right? Because we have this pride in us. I got this. And here's Jesus walking on water. And for all we know, he's just thinking, oh, as soon as I get there, I got to kneel and pray. And he's walking on water. I mean, if it's good enough for Jesus, church, I think we got to pray. If I could raise people from the dead and I still need to pray, then I think I have it. I really need to pray. I need to spend some time talking to my Father. The last thing I want to leave you with this morning, because we're splitting it up. We're going to continue prayer next week. But number two is prayer is learned. Prayer is learned. You're not going to come up here, get saved this morning, and then pray the most eloquent prayers known to man. If you do, that's awesome. That is radical. I'd like to spend some time with you and learn myself, but it's not what happens. You know why? Because even in the Word, when we come and we get saved, we're newborn babies in the kingdom, right? We're children in the kingdom. We're babies. So what do babies do when they want something? They cry. It says, as sons of adoption, we cry, Abba Father. But when we first get saved, church, don't worry about it. You're not going to know how to pray. You're going to cry. And the language of crying is a language of need. Babies can't communicate, so they cry to tell us they need something. When we're Christians and we're new at this, don't worry. You're just going to cry. Because you might not know what to say or how to say it or be eloquent. It's okay. Cry. It doesn't matter. It's okay. You're a baby. It's all right. It's not a put down. It's saying, look, you're brand new to this thing. You're a new baby in a new life. You've received a new heart and all those things, but you still got to grow. You still got to mature. You still got to learn. Someone has to disciple you. You got to watch other people pray, right? All those things are going to build and build. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you there's something wrong with you. Just cry, Abba Father. The simplest thing you can get out. Think about this. When my child first said their first word, Mama, right? Because think about this with me. You're not like, that's it? That's all you got for me? Mama. What about all the other words we all know around this house? Can you give me? Right. No. What do we do? Oh my God. They said mama. Right? We're freaking out. We're calling everyone. We're telling everyone. See, the devil tells you, well, you don't know how to pray. And God is like, they said daddy today. You know, he doesn't care. He's not looking for all that eloquent prayer and sentences and your vocabulary. He's running around with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear him? They didn't really know what completely to do, but they said daddy. They trusted me. They got on their knees. They said, Papa, Abba, Father. You know, and it's all they said, but they said it. They said their first words to me today. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus, did you hear it? And Jesus, like, I heard it. I heard it too. They came. I'm a father. And in that relationship, there's an excitement abounding in heaven because a child uttered his first words to his dad. And the devil will come and tell you, but it's got to be perfect. No, you just got to say something. Listen, man, even if my child's first word was tractor, I just go, oh my God, is it right? You know, it doesn't matter. God's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for communication. Will you just talk to me a little bit? Luke 11:1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." It's learned. Prayer is something that we could learn. We could learn to say things. We can watch other people in the church pray, and we can learn and all of those things. And you should, and you will, and all that is good. But this morning, I think it's, even though it's learned, you're going to learn it by simply praying. It's like this. I'm going to decide to learn Spanish, all right? I'm going to read about it. I'm going to watch YouTube videos about it and buy some books. I'm going to listen to some people talk Spanish. I'm not personally going to speak it. I'm not going to practice or say it with my mouth. I'm just going to watch it, read about it, watch some YouTube videos, listen to some conversations, and I'm going to learn Spanish. How many of you know I'm not going to learn Spanish? You know how you learn to pray? You open your mouth and you practice. So the way you learn Spanish is you have to actually say the words. If I get donuts, confession time, every morning I get donuts. But the guy only speaks Spanish, right? So I've been trying to learn, you know? So I go in and I talk a little bit of Spanish with him. It's awesome. You know, I walk in, he's like, ¿Qué pasa? You know, I love it. And so I ask him questions, you know, and it's fun. And I'm learning Spanish, but I had to actually begin to say some of the words. And now I know a few more words. And he corrects me because I say them wrong, right? It's okay. It's fun. But it's the same thing with prayer. Because you can watch other people pray. You can listen to pastor pray. You can watch videos on prayer. We can sing songs about prayer. And you can hear messages about prayer. But until you go home and open your mouth and begin to practice, you're not going to learn how to pray. And it's something that you have to learn. John 16:13. I'm going to try to close out here. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. It's the first portion. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. But here's the reality of this morning is we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in prayer. He's the one that gives us the compulsion to pray. He's the one that it says will guide us in all things. So here it is this morning. One of the simplest things you can do this morning is to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to begin to pray. And as you pray, you're going to learn how to pray. You guys with me? And I want to tie in a little bit of this last 4 weeks into here to help you to learn how to pray. I want to just give you a principle or bring it back. We see in it's Psalms 5:1 and Psalms 19:14, just as examples, David prayed. If we go to the first one, to the choir master for the flutes, O Psalm of David, he says, give ear to my words. Listen to what David says. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. So he's praying. But he says, consider my groaning. Well, groaning, if you translate that out, it's also the word meditation. If you were here the last 4 weeks, we ended with meditation on Scripture. Is that right? So here is David, right? And it's interesting. His prayer blends with meditation. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. He's praying in this whole thing. But he says, consider my meditation. If we go to the next one in Psalms 19:14, it says he's praying again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. What you're going to find is David's prayers always were blended with meditation. One of the ways, and a very powerful way, that you're going to learn how to pray and want to pray is through Scripture. It's by sitting down with your word in a passage of Scripture and meditating. We talked about this, so I don't get too deep into it. Listen to the last 4 weeks. But I'm showing you how it all begins to blend. Is you sit there with that passage of Scripture and you meditate on it. Remember we talked, it's not about just reading it once, but you meditate. You go through it. We gave you 17 principles of how to go through. I'm not going to reiterate all those, but you're going to go through and you meditate. And what begins to happen is what happens to David. David, in his meditation of Scripture, was always moved to begin to pray. The more you read your Bible, the more you're going to want to talk to God about what he said. Oh, come on now. See, I have things to talk to my wife about because my wife tells me things. You're going to have a lot more to talk to God about when you read his letter to you. When you find out who he is, who he was, and who he is always going to be. When you find out who you really are, right? Who you are in the kingdom and who you will be with him. Like when you begin to find out the character of God, when you begin to find out the purposes of God, when you read those things, you're going to have a lot more to talk to him about. So meditation, David was always moved. This one writer said, David was always taken from considering the truth of God into talking with God. When we read our Bible, we're considering truth. But it will always begin to take you, if you meditate, it will take you into a place of wanting to talk to him about what he said. Yeah. What happens is prayer becomes a real conversation. When you bring Scripture in, it becomes a real conversation. Because listen to me, prayer is not, God, I need this. That's a prayer. But what I'm saying is that's not prayer in its entirety. Prayer is not meant to be your avenue for asking. Prayer is our avenue to build relationships. Prayer is our avenue to come to God and say, I don't need anything, but I read in your word this Scripture, man. It was cool. It jacked me up. I'm trying to figure out some more things about it. So as I meditated on it, God, you know, maybe you can give me some insight. That's a prayer. That's a relational prayer. Do we pray like that? Because, church, a lot of times we pray, God, I need this. I need this. I have a bill due. I'm sick. I hate my coworker. I ate too many donuts. You know, But that should not be the entirety of your prayer. Your prayer should be, you know, God, you know what? I just want to tell you I love you. I just want to tell you I was driving to work and I saw the mountains out there and people say this is a filthy, broken down city, but all I know, God, is I was driving and all I saw was your mountains. I saw how you painted the sky with blue, how there was birds flying in the air. I saw the green grass on the hills. And I know that you're a good God and you're an amazing creator. And I just want to tell you I love you and I worship you and I'm thankful that you're all who you are, you know, and all of that. And I just want to tell you because I think you're amazing. Hey, just 1 second. Right? And you don't hang up the phone. You stay on the line with him at the forefront of your mind. And you come back. Oh, yeah, and that's what I'm saying, dude. Those birds. You did it over the top, God. There's some pretty birds up there. Right? Relationship, prayer. Back. Do I have more time? Are we good? I want to read these to you. I want to read these to you from the Puritans. We'll end here. So we got to go from page 1 to 71. I wish I had my glasses to magnify the word. Stole that from Leo Price, too. I really like that guy. All right. These are the Puritans. So these are fathers of the faith. And I want to read to you because they blend these. It's interesting. And there's tons of them. I picked 3 of them. These are famous Puritans. Thomas Manton, he said this. He said, meditation is a middle sort of duty between the word and prayer, and has respect for both. The word feedeth meditation, and meditation feedeth prayer. These duties must always go hand in hand. Meditation must follow hearing and precede prayer. To hear and not to meditate is unfruitful. It's interesting because somehow in our Christian walk, we've separated prayer and reading the word. The Puritans would tell you, you can't have one without the other one. He says, we may hear and hear, but it is like putting a thing into a bag with holes. It is rashness to pray and not to meditate. What we take in by the word, we digest by meditation and let out by prayer. These three duties must be ordered that one may not jostle out the other. Men are barren, dry, and sapless in their prayers for want of exercising themselves in holy thoughts. Second Puritan, William Bridge, he said, as it is the sister of reading, so it is the mother of prayer. Though a man's heart be much indisposed to prayer, yet if he can but fall into a meditation of God and the things of God, his heart will soon come off to prayer. Begin with reading or hearing. Go on with meditation. End in prayer. Reading without meditation is unfruitful. Meditation without reading is hurtful. To meditate and to read without prayer upon both is without blessing. Third guy, Peter Toon, he said this, to read the Bible and not to meditate was seen as an unfruitful exercise. Better to read one chapter and meditate afterward than to read several chapters and not to meditate. Likewise, to meditate and not to pray was like preparing to run a race and never leaving the starting line. The three duties of reading scripture, meditation, and prayer belong together. And though each could be done occasionally on its own, as formal duties to God,